Florida State versus NC State. Can the Noles finally snap their road losing streak and get a win in a place that has not been friendly to Florida State in its history? Michael, we got a game on Friday night to talk about as Florida State hits the road up to Raleigh to take on the North Carolina State Wolfpack in a battle for bowl eligibility. We got 2-5-5 teams getting ready to duke it out on Friday night. Man, we've not had good luck in some of these games, but we're going to talk about it anyway. Look, it's another game. It's on the schedule. I'm headed up to Raleigh tomorrow night on Thursday night. I'm excited for this one. We're going to have a big tailgate. So I'm going to have fun either way, man, yeah. But it sure would be nice to leave Raleigh with a win. So we're going to talk about everything that you need to know for this game. We're going to break it all down for you in this episode. So lots to talk about today. Obviously, we know, Michael, let me just go ahead and give the disclaimer. Let me use like that voice they use in commercials, right? This podcast is brought to you by two guys who both want the coach fired. So please understand that throughout the duration of this episode. There, I have got it out of the way. We don't have to spend 10 minutes on this again. You guys know where we stand on this. We're ready for change. We still got to talk about the games. So right. That's how we're going to approach this. We're just going to talk about the games and the coaching situation can just sit on the back burner for now. And we'll just see how that thing plays out over time. And then we'll talk about it when we have news to talk about, right? Because we've talked about it a lot. But Michael, I'm excited to talk about this game, man. This would be a good win for Florida State to go up here and finally snap that road losing streak. And we'll see what happens on Friday night. But before we get into that, how are you, my friend? And I'm glad to have you on another episode with me.
Ah, thanks, brother. Listen. I'm celebrating the fact that a couple Florida State guys are jamming out with the 8-2 Rams, baby. Love my Rams, 8-2. Got a big win this past weekend against the Seahawks, and they're looking great. And my head is already on the Rams. That's what I'm focused on right now. We're just kind of seeing this season out, and it's NC State week. I always assume every year since I was a little child, this is a loss week. This is a L week.
Yeah.
Because that's what it's been most of my life is losing at NC State. Heartbreakers. I remember I was sitting in front of our little small TV in our trailer park watching a guy named Philip Rivers throw all over our vaunted number one defense. Broke my heart. And big chested Chuck Almato, you know, over there just laughing it up. So that's how I'm feeling about this week.
It's a frustrating week. Like, right. Look, we might have to be planting the Rams before too long, because at least we could talk about Jared Verse and Braden Fisk, you know, back when we had dogs like that on the team.
Exactly.
But man, again, it's going to be a fun game. It's at night. Of course, it's a Friday night game. We know we don't love that either. But Michael, we're going to dive right into the game. But before we do get into the game, there is one thing that I meant to bring up on last show that I want to mention real quick here. And that is just a quick shout of praise, man, for Ethan Pritchard and his, you know, he's checked out of the rehab facility. He's been back with the team. He was at the game on Saturday night. Man, these are just the things that sometimes there are things that are bigger than the game of football, right? And to know what he went through, you know, again, I'm a guy who's been a first responder for 15 years. I've seen things like that happen and they don't work out well. So man, I mean, what an absolute blessing, what an absolute miracle. I mean, you know, God is good, man, to be able to get him out of, not only out of the hospital, but out of rehab. And he looks good, man. He stood up the other day. He's been communicating. He's been at practice. So like, man, just a true blessing to have him back around the team. And hey, they're 1-0 with him on the sideline. So that's really, really good stuff, man. Yeah. So I love to see that. It's just these times when you realize there are things that are bigger than the game. Right. Absolutely. And so we love to see Ethan Pritchard I forgot to include it on the last show, so I just wanted to say that on this show to begin with, man, because it's really big for this team, and they've rallied around him, and I just love to see that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you initially heard about the incident, you know, how often do you think that you hear about somebody being shot in the head that we're talking about them now several months later, standing up, communicating, being able to show up, laughing, you know, hugging people, it is a minor miracle. And regardless of what you believe about faith and where you are with that, whether you're a person of faith or not, man, you just look at something like this and you can't help but to give praise to the God above. This, you know, thank you for saving this young man's life. Thank you for that, because, you know, this life is not gifted, and you know, we're not promised tomorrow. And it's so fortunate to see him back and around the sport, and them even talking about maybe potentially that there could be some kind of come back to the game of football. We'll see. You know, he's got a long way to go. But yeah, it was so cool to see him lead the legacy walk too as well. And it's just awesome. And so just, yeah, praise God for that.
Yeah, man, I love it. Like you said, he's got a long road to go, but we're going to be praying for him to continue that, to continue to get better, get stronger, and heal up, man. Again, it's like I said, it's just the profession that I work in, I see it go the wrong way a lot,
right.
And so that is a true miracle that he is where he is. But Michael, let's talk about this game on Friday night. Again, I'm headed up to Carter-Finley. I'm a little nervous because I've heard their fans are terrible. So, you know, I remember the pee bottle stories from 2012 and the getting in people's faces. And I remember all that stuff. So it's interesting, man. At least we're going to have a pretty good group. We're going to have a big tailgate there. I'm going to talk about that later. So you guys, if you're going to be in Raleigh, make sure you stay tuned for that. Michael, I'm thinking this is going to be a big one. Like, Virginia was an absolute blast, right?
Right.
Miami, we had fun. I really enjoyed kicking it with Ronnie and our guys last week there at Virginia Tech. But I think this one's going to take the cake. I think this is going to, we're going to have a massive turnout. We're going to have a great time. I cried just a little bit this morning whenever I paid for all the tailgating supplies. We're doing it big this time. Like Jamie said, if we do it, we do it big. So yeah, we're going to need some big subscribers coming up too. Cause but man, I'm looking forward to it. It might be even more fun in the game, but we're going to talk about that right now. So let's talk about this one, Michael. Unfortunately, this isn't quite the matchup we both, either program had in mind here, right? Yeah. 5-5 Florida State going on the road into Carter-Finley Stadium to take on 5-5 NC State, 8 p.m. Eastern kickoff. It's going to be late, ACC Network. This might have been the biggest surprise of the matchup, Michael. Florida State is a 4.5-point favorite over the Wolfpack. Over-under is 61.5. That indicates somewhere around a 33-29 Florida State win. I did not see that coming, right? I did not see us being a favorite in this one. I know the way the things went last week with Miami where they got absolutely housed. Doesn't look good. Florida State's coming off a win. Sure, I get all that. But, you know, when I look at this game, Michael, this, to me, is what I call the juju game, right? Yeah. This isn't about the team that's on the other sideline. It's really not. It's about where, not who, not only are you talking about a team that is 0-8 in road games, a team that hasn't won a road game in the past 2 years. That's already a hard enough thing to overcome, right? You're also 0-3 in your last three trips to Raleigh. Yeah. You haven't won up there since 2016. You are 1-5 in the past six games against NC State. We also don't do well on non-Saturday games. Mike Norvell is 5-4 at FSU in non-Saturday games. We lost the Friday night game that we played earlier this year. By the way, NC State is 1-4 on the road, but they're 4-1 at home. And they have also beat Georgia Tech, handed them their only loss of the season, and beat a Virginia team who's very good. So they are a legitimate team when they play at home. They just can't get it together on the road, kind of like us.
Yeah.
You know, and then again, you continue down the line. You look at some, like, we haven't won. I was thinking about this earlier. We haven't won back-to-back Power Four games since 2023 when you beat Florida and won the ACC championship. So everything in your gut, Michael, tells you this is, don't pick Florida State in this because the mountain is stacked against you. I do have this weird feeling that maybe Florida State can pull it off. But again, man, everything says not to pick Florida State in this one, you know, but I think all of us as Florida State fans, right? We know NC State is that thorn in the side team that we have. Like every team has that, right? That one team that they just struggle to beat. I just have that PTSD flashback of the fat dude swinging a shirt in the crowd from 2012 when they spoiled what probably would have been a national championship type of season. Man, just win. Like, I want to be the fat dude swinging a shirt in the stands this time. Like,
it'd be nice.
It wouldn't be nice to look at, but it would be me swinging my shirt. We'd be having fun. Let that be me this time.
Exactly.
But you know what, Michael, I will say this. Like, one, they've talked about making some changes for the road game. Mike Norvell talked about that this week. You know, just certain ways they go about things. Now, I don't know that that's going to make a difference, right? But anything can help, right? Because we're 0-8 on the road, so changes need to be made. I will say at least the one good thing is you've already played a Friday night game, so you kind of know what the travel schedule looks like, right? Charlottesville and Raleigh are not that far apart. It's not like you're going all the way out to Stanford again or up to Boston or to Syracuse or anything like that. So you kind of have an idea how the travel schedule should work. You also have where that Friday night game before, UVA was coming off a home game. So they got to play on a short week when they were already sitting at home, kind of resting up. NC State is coming off a night game down in Coral Gables. So they have to travel back to Raleigh. You were in a night game at home, so you don't really, you know what I'm saying? Like, that evens it out just a little bit. They had to travel home. You were already at home. You got to travel up there. They don't. So that kind of helps just a little bit. But man, I mean, there is one other thing I was thinking about, right? So like, Mike Norvell probably has a little voodoo doll or an axe grind in this game, right? Because this is something that completely slipped my mind until I was taking notes for this game. And I have heard nobody mention when they talk about Florida State, NC State.
Okay.
I bet Mike Norvell's had this game circled on his calendar for a long time, because this is a payback game, Michael. And you may be wondering, who are we paying back?
Yeah, who are we paying back?
Who's the AD at NC State? That would be one and only Boo Corrigan.
Boo Corrigan. My man,
the guy behind
Boo.
The snub.
Oh my goodness.
I think Mike Norvell is like, he's had like a shrine in his closet where he just stabs that thing with a shank every day, because that's really what led to the unraveling of the program. So can Mike Norvell get payback? Just a smidge of payback. Now that's obviously, this is going to be a lot different than the snub on old Boo Corrigan.
Oh, Boo.
But man, I'll throw it back to you when we and just get some general overall thoughts on this NC State series. But let me throw a few facts at you real quick about the Wolfpack here, because this is a really, they are a really interesting program, right? Only one 10-win season in program history. Crazy. The season that you already mentioned, 2002 with Phillip Rivers, was the only time. And, you know, they had Russell Wilson here at NC State for a little bit. Just one 10-win season in program history. Their last ACC title was in 1979. That is insane to really think about, man. You know, like we talk about at Florida State where it's championship or bust. Like, imagine being a fan of a team that has won nothing, not even really, but 10 games one time, and hasn't won an ACC title since 1979. Like, I got to give it to them. You got to be a dedicated fan base to be showing up cheering for like, hey, buddy, I'm telling you what. We make that Duke's Mayo Bowl. It's on. I'm there, right? And that's about the height of the season. But Carter Finley holds about 57,000. So, you know, it's a good environment, but it's not huge. Dave Dorn has been there 13 years, 92-70 overall record. NC State is basically a perennial 7-9 win program. And they've just had a couple losing seasons under Dorn in the past few years. They have not won a bowl game since 2017. And I know I was doing some reading on the boards, NC State boards, early this season around ACC Media Days when I was scouting the teams. There's a big part of that fan base that was like, man, you know, they didn't do good last year. They were like, I hope we go 4-8 so we fire Dave Dorn. Because I think you're kind of tired of that little 7-9 win ceiling, that glass ceiling that they apparently have. So, yeah, man, it's an interesting one, right? This is a program that you should beat. This is a place that you should be able to go and win. But for some reason, we have just had a ton of trouble winning in Raleigh. So give me some overall thoughts, and then we'll talk about this 2025 season and the opponent ahead.
You know, interesting thought. Guess the team Florida State has played the most on a non-Saturday game in the ACC.
It's got to be NC State, because it feels like we always play them on Thursday. I was going to either say it's either that or Boston College.
It's NC State or Miami. They're the two most teams they've played the most on a non-Saturday game in the ACC. It's ridiculous how often they put Florida State up against against NC State. In 2004, going back to 2000, I mean, going back to 2000, Florida State played NC State and won that game. 2004. In 2006, Florida State played NC State at NC State and lost that game. 2008, Florida State played NC State and won that game. 2010, Florida State played NC State and lost that game. And I haven't even got through the other ones, but it's constantly NC State is around that thing. And so one of my keys that we'll get to obviously later in the show is we've got to exercise this juju. I don't know what they need to do, and I'm not advocating for black magic or anything, but if they got some black magic, white magic, yellow magic, pink magic, I don't really care.
Yeah.
Whatever you need to do, go take a deer, go take a sheep, go take a squirrel, somebody, hang them up somewhere. Not a human, but an animal. Somewhere.
Yeah, rabbit's foot, something. Rabbit's do something.
Something, because every time we play in this place, it is a house of horrors. I was telling somebody on the phone this morning, they were asking if we had a home game. And I said, no, it's at Carter Finley Stadium where FSU dreams go to die. Like, it's just ridiculous how often there. I think the last time we won there was DeAndre Francois in 2016. Got the win there and scored with like 4 minutes to go. That's the last time we saw a win in Carter Finley Stadium. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, and then you think about 2022, a game that you should have won. You knocked their starting quarterback out in the third quarter. You needed 3 points to win the game, and you could not get 3 points in an entire half. It's just something about that place, man. So hopefully they can overcome it. But again, you know, you just go back to this is everything tells you that it's not going to be great because you haven't won road games anyway. Like, you can't win at Stanford and places like that. So, man, hopefully they can overcome it because it really would be
nice.
A win. It would be nice to have this win, right? Especially against a not-so-great NC State team. Now, again, we're not going to get into the coaching situation, but you would at least like to make a bowl, right? Because right now, I'll at least say this about the coaching situation. I think we were talking before the show, we're probably 90-plus percent that they're going to end up bringing Mike Norvell back unless you get blown out in these last two games. And so if he is going to come back, and again, we're not talking about that today, making a bowl and getting those extra practices sure would be okay with me, right? But let's talk about NC State and how they got to 5-5. So they start off game one at home against East Carolina, win that game 24-17. Pretty close win there. Eastern Carolina is like one of their rivals, right? It's an in-state thing. They play all the time. That ECU is a pretty scrappy G5 program. You know, again, you only won by a touchdown, but, you know, they are – that game is usually closer than it is not. And then they beat Virginia at home, a Virginia team, obviously, we know that is really good this year that we lost to. They beat them at home 35-31. That game did come down to basically the last play where they picked it off in the end zone. Then you beat Wake in Wake Forest, so 34-24 there. So you start the season off 3-0. Yeah. Then you drop your first game to Duke, 45-33 at Duke. Duke's got a pretty darn good offense. Their defense isn't great. The one thing you're going to see throughout this is other than about one game, two games, they're scoring some points. So they score 33, they lose at Duke. Then the most head scratcher of the season, man, they lose 23-21 at home in Carter Finley against a bad Virginia Tech team, a Tech team that you just beat by 20 points at home in Doak Campbell Stadium. So that is kind of the one thing that makes you feel good about this game. There's some other things that don't, right? Obviously. But then they win 56-10 against Campbell, FCS. No big deal there. They lose after that to Notre Dame on the road, 36-7. Then they lose 53-34 at Pitt. Then this is the one that's the other head scratcher. So then they beat Georgia Tech, hand their first loss of the season to the Yellow Jackets, 48-36 at home. That's why I feel like they're so dangerous in Carter Finley more than anything. Yeah. Like on the road, if this game, and you know, I've said this before, right? When I was typing up the preview, if this game was at home, if this game was even in a neutral site, like let's just say we were meeting in Atlanta or Charlotte or something like that, I'm probably taking Florida State in this game. But because it's in Raleigh, that's what makes me nervous, because you got a team that beat Virginia and beat Georgia Tech at home. They just suck on the road, because if you needed that instance last week, they got mollywopped by Miami, 41-7. You're talking about outgained by like 350, 400 yards. They could not do anything on either side of the ball. And so they got killed in that game. And I think that's why you're seeing Florida State is the favorite here. So, yeah, I mean, two of their wins, of their four wins at home, were against Eastern Carolina and Campbell. You know, but when you beat Georgia Tech and UVA at home, you feel like they're doing some pretty good things at home. So, man, again, you're talking about a team that's 4-1 at home and we're 0-3 on the road. Got to go up to a place we've already had a hard time winning anyway, and they beat some really good teams at home. That, I think, is why – that is why I say this game is 90% about where and not who. That's what makes me nervous, because we're bad on the road and they're good at home, and it's a tough place to win for us in particular.
Yeah, like you said, if this game was at home or even, like you said, a neutral site, like I would have I'd still have reservations just because of it's Mike Norvell, but I would I'd have less reservations about picking them to win a very close game. The fact of that it's at Carter Finley Stadium, Mike Norvell is 0-2 at Carter Finley Stadium. He's 0-3 all time against NC State. It just the location matters way more in this matchup than it ever has. And most, you know, outside of Clemson, I think those are the two schools in Florida State history that the location has mattered so much. Like, I mean, for the longest time, Florida State could walk into the swamp and had a better chance of winning there than they had anywhere else. But when it came to Carter Finley or Death Valley with Clemson, it's just like, it's almost an automatic L every time. And because of the fact that we haven't won a road game in 2 years under Mike Norvell, because we have struggled in these situations to when we are clearly the better team, Stanford, it's almost hard to even fathom, even think about a road win right now.
Yeah, no, I agree, man. And that's even why when we did the Clemson preview, like I thought we would go up there and possibly win, but I knew going into Death Valley is always hard, man. It's still a tough place to play. At least for us, it is. You know, and this one, it's going to be a little bit cool outside, right? That's going to be something. The weather's going to be nice for this. It's going to be a little bit cold. And if you need some cold weather gear, Michael, you should go to Alumni Hall FSU, because that's what I did last time I was in. I probably look silly being in Tallahassee when it's like 70, buying hoodies and sweatshirts and stuff like that. But it's pretty chilly up here, and so we're looking at being in the 50s around game time. So they got you covered for everything that you need. They got all the FSU gear that you guys love. Look, we're not going to stop repping them, man. We're going to keep wearing the FSU gear. They got basketball gear. They got baseball gear, softball season. The spring sports are coming up. They'll stock that gear as well. They got tailgating supplies, hats, everything that you need. Check those guys out, 1415 Timber Lane Road in Tallahassee, or shop online at alumnihall.com. Navigate over to the FSU page. And, of course, don't forget to save 10% with code SPEAR. So you're buying the gear anyway, might as well save a little bit of cash. So we appreciate you guys supporting those who support us, and we appreciate Alumni Hall for rocking with us. So make sure you check those guys out. Michael, let's start with the NC State offense. This is the part that makes you a little bit nervous, right? This NC State offense is legitimate. Scoring offense is right at 30 points a game, 56. So it's not really blowing anything out of the water there. But, I mean, they're putting up some yards. They're putting up points in pretty much every game. They have faced four top 24 scoring defenses so far this season. So that's not really been an easy slate of defenses that they've went against. If you're wondering, FSU is 29th currently. So you should, you know, I will at least say this. The defense has gotten a little bit better, right? They were pretty bad early on in the season when you talk about Virginia and Pitt and things like that in Miami, but they've buckled down just a little bit. They've done a little bit better. What makes me nervous in this game is the matchups. And I've talked about this in a lot of our games in the past, where it's how the teams match up, because matchups, talent is one thing. Matchups are everything, right? That is the big thing. It's your strength on their strength, your weakness on your weakness, how teams attack each other. That's what really makes a difference in the game. And what makes me nervous in this one is their passing offense is their strength. 262 yards a game, 35th in the country. They're 33rd in passing touchdowns, 13th in completions percentage. They're a legitimate passing offense, and we know that our passing defense has got gashed at times. Now, yeah, okay, you did pretty good against Wake and Virginia Tech, but they're not good passing teams.
Right.
So now you're about to face another good passing team. Now, they are 105th in interceptions, so you will have a couple opportunities probably to pick a ball off if you can do that. They have only faced two passing defenses in the top 50, though, and that is Wake and Miami, and both held them under their season average. So you do just kind of feel like maybe they've been racking up some numbers, against some of the bad passing defenses that they faced. Florida State is 39th. So I think they're going to throw the ball on you a little bit. It's just how much can you keep them in check? And one of the big things that I'm watching in this game when we talk about the pass defense is Jabril Rawls going to be available. You know, he was out, then he was back, then he was out, then he was back. He was out last game against Virginia Tech. Maybe they were resting him because they knew Virginia Tech can't throw the ball with a flip anyway. I think in this game, you need to have him, right? He's your best corner right now. And if he can be back and Jerry can have a game, if Jerry can have a Jeremiah game, then I think you might be okay, man. But give me some thoughts on this passing offense, because it's legitimate. And I worry because our pass defense has been our weakness this season. That's the one thing that scares me the most about this matchup, is just kind of getting gashed on the back end.
Yeah. I mean, CJ Bailey is, a pretty good quarterback. He's completing basically 70% of his passes on the season. Yeah. He does have 9 interceptions, but 19 touchdowns. He's averaging, I think it's 8 yards of completion, I believe. Yeah. 8 yards of completion. I mean, that's practically every time on first down, he's throwing the ball. He's basically putting you in a 2nd-and-2 situation, which is interesting because He's averaging basically almost a first down every throw, and yet they are 62nd in the country on third down. So if you can get them into third and medium or longer, you have a 60% chance of getting off the field. They're only converting 40% of their third downs right now. They've had 124 opportunities to convert third downs, and they've only converted 50 of them. That's 40% chance. So what you have to do is you're going to have to force CJ Bailey into short throws. If you give him time to sit back there and carve you up, it's going to be a long day. Now, why do I say that? Jesse, what do I complain most about our defense?
Giving up the short stuff and lining up off the ball. Like we do every time.
We are playing 8 yards off the ball.
Yeah, dude averages 8 yards of completion, and you're going to give him an 8 yard cushion every single play.
So it's an easy 5 yard throw, and he's got 3 yards just to gain. Like, we've got to play some bump coverage against him. I'm not saying every down, but can we get from 4% bump coverage to maybe like 25% and just see if we can like disrupt their route running? Giving them such a free release is just asinine to me, especially with a guy who's averaging almost a first down every throw.
Yeah, I think that tells you there's a little bit of a boom or bust to that offense. But, you know, one thing I will say is when you see a completion percentage at 70%, which is really darn
really good,
you got to be sitting here going, well, he must be just short throw dinking, dunking, and running those numbers up. And that's not the case, man. He excels at the deep ball. They push the ball down the field. He's just a good quarterback, right? He's a sophomore, played a lot for them as a freshman last year after Grayson McCall went down and then eventually quit football. But, you know, he's had 4 games over 300 yards passing so far, 2 with under 200. He's had 6 games with multiple passing touchdowns and thrown a touchdown in every game except for the Miami game, the last one there. He's 20th in QBR, 34th. Passer rating. So, I mean, he's a legitimate quarterback, man. Like you said, 19 touchdowns, 9 picks. Really, the only knock on him is the picks, right? That's the only knock right now. 66 attempts on the ground, 148 yards, 5 touchdowns. So he's not really mobile, but he's kind of like a Chandler Morris, right? He's the type of guy who he's not Mike Vick. He's not Tommy Castellanos. The legs are not what makes him special. But the legs are what make him dangerous on
They're
top
sneaky.
Of that. And
yes.
And so you have to watch out for that, man. And speaking of his passing depth, 58.7% of his passes are under 10 yards. So the majority of them do come under 10 yards.
Right.
But he does excel at the deep ball. On throws over 20 yards, he has 8 touchdowns to only 1 pick. So don't let him get behind you, because he's an accurate deep ball thrower. And he's going to make those throws, and you're going to get burned over the top. You know, when you talk about the receivers, they have 7 players with at least 20 receptions, 5 with around 300 yards or more receiving.
Yep.
So they spread it out. There is not that one guy that's really dominant like we have with Deuce Robinson.
Right.
Terrell Anderson leads the team, 32 catches, 552 yards, 17.25 yards a catch. So he's a deep ball guy. And 4 touchdowns. And they also like to use their tight ends, and they got some pretty decent tight ends. Justin Jolly or Jolie, I think the announcer was saying his name wrong. I spell Jolly, J-O-L-Y. So that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that's what his name is. Transfer from Connecticut, man. He was one of the best players at UConn, and he's been good for them. I think he led them in reception or led them in yards last year. So they got some players over there. And so you're going to be challenged in the pass game. And that's what really does make me nervous more than anything. And I think if you get back there to them, look, their offensive line and pass block efficiency is 88th in the country. They've allowed 15 sacks because he is mobile, which is 34th. So it's a tough one, man. Like, you want to get back there and disrupt him, but you got to make sure you get him on the ground at the same time. Now, the one thing you got here is their rushing offense has not been special, right? It's been good, but it's not been special.
Yeah.
147 yards per game on average, 80th in the country, 41st in rushing touchdowns, 35th in yards per carry, 116th in attempts per game. So they're not running the ball a lot. Probably has a lot to do with their trailing in a lot of these games. So they're throwing the ball to try and get up for it. They have rushed the ball for over 200 yards in 4 games, but they also have 3 games under 100 yards. So it's a really bipolar rushing offense. But the thing is, they have faced 4 top 25 rushing defenses. So they have faced a tough slate of run defenses.
And they're still averaging over 100 yards.
And so Florida State is at 33rd. So your rush defense has been pretty decent, right? It has been pretty decent. But man, it's just the pass game that I worried about. And they're 60-40 pass to run. So that's the thing. Okay. And you already talked about on third down. They're not real good, But you know where they are really good, Michael? That's in the red zone. Last
yes,
week,
they
we
are.
Played a team who was one of the worst teams in the country in the red zone. Now you're flipping the script, and you're going one of the best teams in the country. They are top 10 in red zone scoring at a 93.75% clip. They've scored on 30 of 32 trips, and it's been 25 touchdowns to only 5 field goals.
There you go.
That's why they're scoring so many points in every game. They're 36 in explosive plays over 20 yards with 50. 38 of those come through the pass, only 12 through the run. So, again, man, you better strap it up and be ready for the pass because this is going to be a game. They are going to test that secondary.
Yeah.
But now when we talk about the running backs, you have Hollywood Smothers, 127 attempts, 823 yards, 6.48 yards per carry, and 6 touchdowns. This is a kid, I think he's out of the Charlotte, North Carolina area. I remember Florida State was trying to land him. I remember actually making his graphic back in the day for the commitment graphic, another one of those that got sent to the delete file that didn't work out. But man, he's a talented, quick back. He's more of their shifty, speedy, outside zone type of back. And then you have freshman Jaden Duke Scott, who is their power back. He's like 5'9", like 212 or something. He's kind of a stocky back. He's more of their inside zone type of back. 78 attempts, 445 yards, 5.71 yards per attempt, and 4 touchdowns. So both of them are averaging over 5.5 yards per attempt. So, man, when you talk about this offense, again, just some final thoughts up here. CJ Bailey, he's a young quarterback. He's got some turnover problems. But, man, he's a legitimate passer. And it's a decent offensive line and a decent ground game. So, to me, I think you can hold them in check in the ground, right? Florida State's rush defense has been good enough to do that. What scares me is another Miami situation where you hold them in check on the ground and you just get roasted on the back end. That's what worries me more than anything. But you've done a little bit better. I hope you really have Jabril Rawls available in this game. But, man, this game's going to fall on your secondary.
Yeah, I think this is going to be one of those types of games where as much as I get super frustrated about the bend but don't break, let's give him 8-yard cushion, you might have to go to a game like this to where you're going to say, okay, look, between the 20s, we're probably going to give up a little bit of yards. But what we're going to have to try to do is try to, one, keep them out of the red zone, because when they get in the red zone, they are lethal. To be top 10 in the country, when you get into the 20, they're lethal. So, like, maybe you go, okay, like, from 40 to 40 or 30 to 30, we're going to give up some yards here, but we've got to get them. When we get them into 3rd and 5 and longer, we've got to convert and get them off the field. Remember, they are 62nd in the country in conversion percentage on 3rd down. They're only converting 40% of their 3rd down. So what you want to do in this game is you want to take that percentage down by at least 5 to 10%. Right. Make them 3 out of 10. If they get 10 third downs, they're only converting 3 of them. You want to get them out when you can, which means you're probably going to have to give up a little bit of space, be a little bit more bend, but don't break. Because if Miami taught you anything, when you try to just be all out on the run, you're putting that secondary on an island. And they proved, at least against Miami, that they're not capable of stopping. And this bro, CJ Bailey, is throwing darts out here. He's at 70% completion percentage. So he's putting it on him. Yes, 58% of those completions are 10 yards or less. But when what was his deep ball completion percentage?
I don't have it on hand, but it's good. It's good. Somewhere in the 40s, I think.
And so, which is good for a deep ball. So if you're giving him the opportunity to have a lot of one-on-one opportunities to throw that ball, that's not a chance you want to take too often, okay?
Yeah.
And the difference, and the other thing I'll say, and I'll throw this back to you, is like you said, they have all 7 players who have averaged 20 catches or more. Their tight end, Justin, has 37 catches. He leads the team. They're going to spread the ball around, okay? So it's not – you can't just – this is not NC State's defense saying, how do we just shut down Deuce because they ain't got nobody else. This is Florida State saying, how do we tamper down – all these, you know, opportunities for them to get completion percentage. You're probably going to see a lot of zone in this game as well, which the problem is you're going to have to make those windows smaller for him to make completions into.
Yeah, especially when you're talking about a guy that has a slight turnover problem, right? And you nailed it, man. When you get into the red zone, try and make him kick field goals, right? Yep. Because right now, we know they haven't done a lot, but they're 5 of 8 on field goals, which is 119th in the country. So They haven't been a great kicking team either. So you cannot sit here and give up. I really don't feel good if this game turns into a shootout, right? If it's like a race to 40, I just don't love that. The way this offense of ours has looked the past couple of weeks. I mean, you scored 34, you scored 42 on Wake Forest and Virginia Tech. So you did that, but on the road, man, again, 7 at Clemson, 13 at Stanford, like, you got to be able to score points on the road, especially against an offense like this.
Right.
But let's talk about the defense, Michael, because, hey, look, man, if you're a little bit hungry, this is a Thanksgiving heaping helping of food on the table because this defense is bad. But before we get into that, guys, if you're enjoying the content that we provide here at Plant the Spear, we would love a like and subscribe to the channel to help us grow, to help us reach other Noel fans. It helps keep the lights on around here. It helps keeps the tailgates funded. Again, I joke about crying when I swipe my card earlier. Look, it's not about that. It's about having fun with other Noel fans. I'm absolutely ecstatic. Like, the game is on the back burner for me right now because the tailgate's going to be a blast. I'm expecting a huge turnout of just a community of Noel fans who are still supporting this team. We're still going to have fun. And so drop a like and subscribe to stay connected with us here at Plant the Spear. We are your source for fan-driven FSU content by the fans, for the fans, man. Rate and review on the podcast helps us reach other Noel fans as well. So, man, we would love that. And if you want to become a tribe member, it's $5 a month. YouTube takes their cut. We get a little bit after that. It helps keep everything going over here. We would greatly appreciate any of you guys who would be willing to take that extra step to support us. We don't charge for content. We let you choose whether you want to pay or not. And it's only $5 a month. You can hit the join button below on YouTube to do that. Now, speaking of the tailgate, if you're going to be in Raleigh, let me go ahead and give you the details on this, right? So we are going to be in the Stadium West lot of Carter-Finley Stadium. So when you look at it, the home side, we are going to be, it's kind of like the southwest corner by the ticket office on the home side of the stadium. If you go past the ticket office in the front row of the parking lot, I promise you won't be able to miss us. We will probably be the biggest collection of Florida State fans in the parking lot. We are literally about 10, 20 feet from the stadium. So it's a 2-minute walk into the stadium. Definitely stop by and see us. We have all kinds of stuff that we're getting ready for this ourselves, and we're partnering with our friends over at Unconquered Tailgating. Most of you guys probably know them too as well anyway, so it's going to be a great time. Like, as soon as we push end on this episode, Michael, I'm going to make something like 200 Jello shots. So, like, it's going to be it's going to be a good time. Make sure you come by and see us. It's free. Everyone can come by and enjoy. The lots open at 3 p.m., so that is what time we are going to be out there. We will probably be sitting in the road waiting for them to open the gates.
Yeah.
So the second they open the gates, we'll be in there. We'll be set up until game time. So really looking forward to meeting a bunch of you guys this weekend. Like I said, I think we're going to have a great turnout. We've already had a big commitment of people that are going. I can't wait, man. It's going to be an absolute blast. Like I said, Virginia was so much fun. Every tailgate that we've done has been fun. And I think this is going to be the biggest of all of them. So if you're going to be in Raleigh, do not miss this tailgate. I promise you, you will regret it. So we appreciate everybody who's going to come out and just kick it with us before the game, man, because it might be more fun than the game, Michael.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Let's at least enjoy that part. But let's talk about a little bit of defense here for NC State. And, man, this defense is not good, right? So far, they're just giving up a lot this season. They are not doing well. But they – you know, the funny thing is they actually do have some okay pieces on this defense. It's not all bad. Like, their defensive line is okay, right? But their linebackers, their second and third level is really where the weakness comes, right? Yeah. I saw some people on those NC State boards that I was reading. They were talking about, man, the secondary is just so bad that even coming into the season, they knew it was going to be bad. And it has turned out to be that way. And so, man, I mean, they are definitely getting torched on the back end. So there are opportunities all over the field with this team. But you're talking about a scoring defense here that is giving up over 31 points a game, and they're 118th in the country. So, like, they're not good, man. 31.6 points per game allowed. They have faced 7 scoring offenses in the top 35. So they have faced some tough offenses. So that has a little bit to do with it, right? You got Georgia Tech. Yeah. You got Virginia in there. You got Notre Dame. They face some good offenses. But Florida State is 17th. Now, I understand you got to couch that a little bit with the other ones. But this offense is not terrible. It's just been terrible on the road, which is we're on the road. So that's not good, clearly. But man, I think with this defense, if you can find ways to attack that second and third level of the defense, I think there's a lot of opportunity in here. I mean, we know we joke, right? Where we said last week was the first time Florida State has won a game when Tommy threw the ball more than 20 times this season.
Yep.
So I don't really want Tommy back there trying to torch this bad secondary, but it may come down to where you got to throw the ball to win this game, right? And again, you're talking about a defense that has just not been good. And they've given up over 500 yards four times this season, three times in the past four games. So whatever's going on bad on defense, it's been really, really bad in the last four games. Over 500 yards in three of the last four games, 127th in total defense, and 127th in yards per play. And I know we don't typically talk about total defense because yards don't win games, points do. It just helps paint the picture, man, that this is a really bad defense. You know, it's funny, Michael. We're ready to ship Tony in that 335 on out to California. I bet NC State's praying that 335 would come back to Raleigh when they actually had a good defense. Because, you know, the crazy thing about NC State, it used to be a defensively led team. Oh, and now this defense is just, it's a boat anchor. And it really starts with the passing defense. They are giving up 300 yards a game, 136 in the country. There are 136 teams in the country. They are 136 of those 136. This is literally the worst pass defense in the FBS. This is what I talk about. I don't love the matchups in this game because their weakness is something we're not overly great at. 99th in passing touchdowns allowed, 99th in completion percentage allowed. They've allowed over 340 yards passing in each of the past four games. Three of the past four were over 10 yards per attempt. Oof. Now, that's good to me because Tommy is one of the highest attempt yards per attempt passers in the country because, you know, we pretty much have like
Jeff Bowden offense.
Yeah, like throw it deep to Danzy, throw it deep to Deuce, squirrel somewhere out there hibernating in the forest. We don't know what he's doing. But yeah, man, I think that part does match up a little bit, right? And they've given up 10 total passing touchdowns in the past four games. So you might have to sling that thing a little bit to win this game. But they have faced five top 30 passing defenses so far this season, and FSU is 37. So, man, again, you talk about the matchups, though. The one thing that I don't like about this defense is their rush defense has been okay, right? 54th in the country, 141 yards per game allowed. But the good thing is, you know, you talked about this last week with Virginia Tech. That's about your average, about where you've been against Power 4 teams. So if you can hit that number and then some, I think you feel good about that. But they're 84th in rushing touchdowns allowed, 84th in yards per carry allowed. They have held three teams under 100 yards, but they've also given up over 200 three times. And they've only faced two rushing offenses in the top 26 because one of them was 26. Florida State is 9. So you're going to give them trouble in the run game. That I am confident in. And one thing I think that will help is Tommy did look more mobile last week against Virginia Tech. So he must be healing up a little bit from that injury he got, the ankle injury against Stanford. You're going to need his legs in this game. You're going to need him to be a dynamic guy that can move the pocket. But, man, you know, again, give me some thoughts on this defense because I don't love the way that the strengths match up. But, like, this passing offense, if you can just keep feeding Deuce and Danzy, and I don't care how you win the game as long as you win the game, but I still think you need to establish a run enough to where you can take advantage of that secondary and man, because they are giving up yards and points to everybody through the air.
Absolutely. Well, you realize that this past game for Florida State against Virginia Tech was the first game since Virginia that they ran for over 200 yards.
Yeah.
So they went all those games after Virginia and I think the most was like 170 that they got up to. And we were wondering like what has happened to this run defense, right? So if Virginia is averaging 140 yards on the ground given up, 54 in the country, like then that should be around Florida State's average as of recently. So they should be able to get there. They should be able to get those runs and do that. But what's going to be interesting, and you said it already, is it's so crazy that the thing that NC State is the worst at, passing defense, is the thing Florida State is the worst at, passing offense. And not maybe the worst, but just not good. The quarterback is not accurate. He doesn't anticipate throws. He throws it late. He double clutches. There's only one guy he's out there looking for, which is Deuce deep or maybe a Mekhi Danzy deep because Squirrel's out there just chipping on nuts somewhere. Like we don't really know what he's doing, but
you know, I really don't know why people haven't just doubled or tripled Deuce so far.
Me either.
I really I don't get it. And I hope their defensive coordinator is not watching this, but I really don't understand. Like, exactly. No one else other than Danzy is doing anything.
Put a safety over Deuce and make Tommy find somebody else, because he's not looking Squirrel's way. Absolutely. He's not looking Javon Boggs' way. He's barely looking Makai Danzy's way. I mean, LaWayne McCoy's kind of got some looks. Jalen Lucas is back there playing with a gadget, not being used as a gadget. Like,
again, it's deuce or nothing. I mean,
it's
like
deuce or bus.
Nobody. Like, we got nobody but deuce.
We got nobody. Nobody but deuce. Exactly. And so this is the thing that frustrates me. It's like, man, we finally get a defense that is terrible passing, and we don't have a quarterback that can actually take advantage of it. Because the problem is, you do not want Tommy having to throw the ball 25 plus times. Now, yes, he did go over 20 this past game and we won. Oh, whoa.
You also ran for over 200 yards too.
Exactly. That helped. That's the issue, is that if he has to throw the ball 25 plus times and we're not getting the yards per carry and the game at least over, 150 to 200 yards, this is going to be a long day for Florida State's offense. And so, this team is giving up almost 32 points a game. You have to, at minimum, score 30 points to win this game.
Yeah. I really do feel like if you don't get 30 in this game, it's not going to be good enough. No. And again, you talk about it's the strength on strength, because if you had Jordan Travis back there at quarterback and that passing offense from 23, I think you blow them out. I think it's over before it starts. So we'll see how things match up, man. But there's your opportunity in the game, right? Now, turnovers forced, they are 107th in the country. They forced 9 so far this season, 6 picks, 3 fumbles. So not too great there. Only 14 sacks on the season, 110th in the country. So again, if you can protect Tommy and let him at least make the throws, if they're, they should be there with that secondary, that's encouraging as well. Hopefully his legs will help him avoid pressure that they just haven't really been good at getting. They're 124th in third down defense, 45% completions or conversion percentage. That's what I'm looking for allowed. So it's just bad across the board, man. Right. And even their red zone defense, 69th in the country. They've given up 27 touchdowns, 11 field goals. You might as well leave the kicker on the bus in this game, what I feel like, because you're going to need points in this one. And explosive plays. They've given up 52 so far this season, over 20 yards, 113th in the country, 41 through the pass, which is 123rd in the country. Yeah. So, man, they are getting carved up by any good passing team. So can you do that? That's the big question. And obviously, you have a guy like Deuce, so you should be able to make that happen. But what you can't have happen is the run offense is not there and you turn in basically into an air raid team where you're throwing it 42 times and running it 20-something times like you did at Clemson. That's a recipe for a loss.
Disaster.
But I also do think this is the one instance where you're probably going to have to throw the ball 25 times in this game, and you're going to need to hit some of them big shots to back them off to open up the run game. But again, man, I that's why I see this being a little bit of a shootout, right? Because you have a mismatch strength from the NC State offense to the Florida State defense, and then you'll just have a really bad NC State defense across the board. So it's going to be interesting, man, how this thing plays out. But let's go ahead and get into some final thoughts and predictions here with this game. And this is a tough one, Michael, when we talk about final thoughts and predictions, because again, man, I just come back to, you look at NC State, they got a host of problems, man. They're 101st in turnover margin. They're 48th in penalties per game. They're 119th in field goals. They're in field goal percentage. They're not great, right? They're 5-5. Yeah. But the problem is, we come back to the opening of the show. Yeah. They're 4-1 at home. You're 0-3 on the road. You're 0-8 on the road in the last two seasons. You haven't beat two Power Four teams back-to-back in 2 years. You just beat Virginia Tech, if you weren't counting. If you weren't keeping score. So you've had a hard time winning in Raleigh. So like if there was one game that you would say this is our get right game for the road, it would not be a Friday night contest in Raleigh, right? Yeah. But I've had a really hard time predicting what this daggone team is going to do. So maybe this is the one that they actually win. Maybe the least probable game is the one that you end up winning. But man, again, this comes down to the where, not the who, in this game. So man, when I talk about some keys here, before we get into the score prediction, because I'm still torn on my score. I'm still adding the math up in my head right now how I want to pick this, because it's so hard, man. Like I said, if this game was in Doak, if this game was even neutral site, I'm probably taking Florida State, even as bad as we've been. It's just, that's such a hard place to win against a team that's been really good at home. So I think your keys to victory in this one for me, is, first off, play smart, play confident, right? We've seen some times where they go on the road. Stanford was a really big thing there where, like, I don't think they quit. They were just really flat, right? And that's something that Mike Norvell talked about in the press conference of how you get over the hump on the road is you have to be confident, man. You can't let one bad thing snowball. You can't let the crowd get to you. You can't let these things get to you. You have to stay in the fight the whole game. So play smart, as in don't turn the ball over. Don't get stupid penalties. Don't gift wrap them a win. Like, I know Christmas is coming up, but we don't have to do it quite yet. And then play confident, man. Go in there and act like you're going to win the freaking game, right? Yeah. Don't go in there and be like, well, I hope we can win. I know it's been tough. We have one on the road. Like, I think I saw one of the DeSeer brothers said something about, we've heard what everybody said, that we can't win a game on the road, and that's what we're aiming to do this week. So, man, be offended. Be pissed off. Good. Hey, are you watching Florida State? You can't win on the road. Take note. Hang it in the locker room. I don't care what you got to do. I'll be the guy that says
it. Put my face up there.
Go win the game. I'm trying to be the fat dude swinging off the shirt off the pole, man. Let's go. Key number two for me, Michael, score six, not three. This is a good offense. We just talked about 25 touchdowns in the red zone to only five field goals. You're not going to win this game with 3 points at a time. Leave the kicker on the bus, other than for kickoffs. Score touchdowns in the red zone, or else you're going to lose a shootout. You've got to get touchdowns. And my third key, all jokingly, because I really couldn't come up with a third key for this, man, just have a few extra drinks at the tailgate if you show up. So that way you don't really care either way, right? So give me some final thoughts and predictions, and then we'll do a score prediction.
Yeah. I like that. I like your keys to the game. My number one key, okay? Mike Norvell, listen. My number one key, grab all the players, all the support staff, all the coaching staff, Peter Collins, Michael Alford, everybody. Just get them all around a big circle somewhere when you get to the stadium, okay? Pull out like a dead squirrel you found on the side of the road, okay? Light that sum on fire, right? And just
right on the 50.
Right on the 50. And just say to whomever, can we please walk out of this place with a stadium? Exercise the juju. I don't know what you got to do. Okay. I don't know if you're superstitious. I'm not superstitious. I'm just a little stitious. Okay. Whatever you got to do, exercise the juju. Okay. From this place. Number two, get them into third and long. Get this offense into third and five and longer. When you do that, you have a 60% chance of getting them off the field. Okay. Right. A bird in the hand is better than two in the bush. Get them into third and long, because you're going to have a better chance to get them out of the off the field for your offense to get back on the field. And then number three, find other wide receivers. That, and I know that was going to be one of your points. Find other wide receivers.
It was, man. It was.
Because listen, man, like I know how this happens. We talk about it here, and sure enough, NC State's going to have another safety, a referee, somebody from the stands covering Deuce. Like they're going to take him away. So Javon Boggs, LaWayne McCoy, Makai Danzy, Squirrel, put the nuts down. Come on, man. Like, get into this. Get yourself open. Get yourself available. Those are my keys. If you do those three things, maybe you might walk out of there with a win.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about finding a dead squirrel on the side of the road. Buddy, there's one on the team bus.
And I mean exactly.
I mean that figuratively, not literally. Obviously, but might as well be. The dude's in hibernation, so it would be nice to show up, man. Right. Give me one catch.
One.
Like you did against Alabama. Just one. Just let me know you're still on the team. Because, you know, the last thing I've seen them do was kind of dance on the sideline. That was pretty much about it. I haven't seen anything since. But I think you are right, man. I think you're going to need more than Deuce Robinson. Because eventually, I mean, we saw this with Louisville and Johnny in 2023, right? Their defensive coordinator just wasn't smart enough to give safety help, and Brownlee got burnt all afternoon.
That's right.
Eventually, somebody's going to figure this out. Now, that doesn't mean you can cover him,
right?
But eventually, somebody's going to give safety help every play against Deuce. And so you got to have somebody else step up. Randy Pittman, where are you at? We need you in this game. So let's get down to the score prediction, Michael. We've had some fun with this one. We've laughed a little bit. I got a weird feeling that this team, just after that whooping in Miami, is kind of reeling a little bit. They're not feeling too good about themselves. You know, we both have rivalries coming up on the backside of this. Yep. They have North Carolina at home. So this is not senior night. This is not their last home game. It's not their last big game. you know, North Carolina sucks too. So yep. It's not like we're a top 10 team coming in that's stealing all the attention. Like, we're kind of a bad team, and it is a sold out game at night, though. I will say that. So I expect the environment to be everything that you expect it to be. It's sold out, right? We got Florida on the other side of this too, but you got nothing to look ahead for, right? You got an extra day to prepare for that and all that. I get all that. But I got this weird gut feeling that Florida State is going to win this game. That doesn't mean I'm going to pick them. And I hate to say that because, again, I will gladly take being wrong, right? I think Florida State can win this game because I think I think your defense is better than theirs, and that can be the difference. And I think your offense is good enough. It's just, it has to show up on the road. Your offense has not traveled very well outside of the Virginia game this season. And even then, most of the points that you put up, that's not a good defense either by Virginia, right? And so I would like to see you put up the 34, 37 points like you did at Virginia. And if you do that, I think you can win this game. Like, if Florida State scores 38 points, I think they win the game. But remember, Georgia Tech scored 38 points and lost, right? They lost 45-38. I think that was the final score of that game. So I got a weird feeling, but I just right now in a road game in Carter-Finley against a team that's been much better at home, I just can't pick us right now. And so I have the freaking Wolfpack, the Ditch Dogs, the Coyotes, whatever you want to call them, the Mangy Dogs. I got them winning 35-31. Yeah. I think it's a close game, right? I think the spread is probably right, but in the wrong direction. So I'm going to go NC State 35-31. And, man, I do see a path to Florida State winning this game. I just don't trust them to do it on the road. So I got NC State winning in a close one, in a high-scoring close one.
What was your score?
35-31 NC State.
35-31. Okay, man. We're close, buddy. We're very close. Listen, Florida State has not done well at NC State. Florida State. Newsflash. Florida State has struggled at Carter-Finley Stadium. There's a fat white dude somewhere swinging his shirt in his grave somewhere still celebrating NC State win. Okay.
I hope he's still alive. He looked pretty young.
Yeah.
His health wasn't great, but he's still pretty young.
He's still pretty young. I'm sorry about that. I didn't mean to put that bad juju on you. Okay.
Yeah.
Florida
There's
State.
Your sacrifice. Get the dude swinging the shirt.
Florida State is 27-16 all time against NC State. Florida State is 11-10 all time at Raleigh. Florida State has lost three straight to NC State. Norvell is 0-3 against NC State, 0-2 in Raleigh. Florida State is 5-5 in their last 10 games against NC State. Florida State is 1-5 in their last six games. But Jesse, I'm telling you, I don't care if it's a 3-pack, a 6-pack, an 8-pack, or 12-pack. Florida State is going to Raleigh and getting the dub 31-28, baby.
Let's go. I hate being the bad guy on the show, man. You snuck that out on me.
I did.
I usually do the blind optimism and pick. Hey, I'll take it, man. I will gladly be wrong. All I want's a win. That's all I want. I don't care what happens. Because I'm obviously, like I said, I'm going to be there in the middle of their bad fans. And so maybe they're not bad. I don't know. I've just heard the stories. But, man, hey, I'll take it, right? I would gladly take a win however we get it. So look at you standing in the paint.
Hopefully
Florida State can do the same thing, man. I'm just not confident. Like I said, I got a gut feeling that we're going to win. Yeah. And I mean, I've been wrong in basically every daggone pick this season because who knows what's the deal with this team. So, exactly. You know, like I said, man, I think if you score over 35, I think you've got a really good chance to win this game.
All summer, I said this was a game I was going to pick as a loss. It didn't matter who it was. Yeah. Florida State could be undefeated and I was going to pick this game as a loss. But man, the more and more I've just thought about it, looked at the stats, listened to you, listened to all the shows, watched their tape. I just feel like this is the dub. This is where Florida State exercises the demon. This is where they get back on the winner's side on the road, just because they have the type of offense that if it does what it needs to do, can control the game. This is a porous defense, and I think our defense will bend, but it won't break, and it will come down to a Jake Weinberg kick. Now,
no, don't say that.
Okay. I know. I just have this feeling that this is where Mike Norvell finally puts it together for a road win. I'm not saying, again, we've already given the disclaimer that we want him gone. I'm just saying this is the game. I feel it. I just feel like this is it. Now, we could be doing a post game.
Yeah.
And either Jesse's going to have his shirt off, waving it around because we won, or
North Carolina, come on. And oh, sorry.
Right. Or you're going to be like, Michael, you were dead wrong about this. Either way.
Yep.
It is what it is.
Yeah. I can, and I will say this before we get out of here. I can see this game being where you win a shootout like 38-34, right? Yeah. That if I were going to pick a win, because like I told you when we pressed record, my score prediction was blank. I had not even written it down yet because everything inside of me wants to pick Florida State because y'all know I hate picking against Florida mm-hmm. State, but all the juju says don't pick Florida State mm-hmm. because of all the juju. And so I could see you winning a shootout. You're going to have to score over 30 to win this game, right. I feel like. I could also see if things don't go well, it's like 48-24 or something that. I can see that offense kind of putting it on you if your secondary don't buckle it down. But we'll see, man. I really, really hope you're right because all I want is a win. I have forgot what it was like to win on the road. Virginia was a loss. Duke was a loss last year that I was at. So, man, every time I visit someone else's stadium, we lose. So I'm sorry that I'm going to be there on Friday night, but hopefully we will win. I figured it out. So I messed up. I wore what I wore against Alabama. Things went great. Right. And then I changed it up a little bit. I thought Miami, I had the same thing on, but it was a different hat.
It was a different hat.
And so then Virginia Tech, I went head to toe the same thing and we won. So best believe I'll be wearing my lucky outfit head to toe in Raleigh and hopefully we get a win, but that's going to be it, guys. We appreciate you guys listening. And again, if you're going to be in Raleigh, make sure you hit up the tailgate. I promise you, you get up there. We're going to have a great time before the game. Just come find us in the Stadium West parking lot, home side of the stadium, over by the ticket office. You can't miss us. We got two spots. We're going to have a big display, a whole bunch of things going on over there. So make sure that you guys come out and support for that. It's going to be a great time. Drop a like and subscribe on the episode if you enjoy this. Rate and review on the podcast. Also, make sure you support Alumni Hall, our title sponsor, and get you some Noel gear. Save 10% with code SPEAR. We also have a website over at plantthespear.com where you can find all of our content. So make sure you check that out. Michael, we will catch you on the other side of this one. I hope it's good. I'm not confident that it will be, but I really hope it's good, man. I'm happy to see that you picked them. I'm happy to see that we did have a one good cop, one bad cop. And hopefully we get a win on Friday night in Raleigh. So guys, that's going to do it for us here for the NC State preview. We appreciate y'all rocking with us, and we'll catch you on the other side. As always,
go Noles.